Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Grow My Officiant Business Podcast. My name is Chad Muncy, and I am delighted that you decided to join me today. This is the podcast where we talk about how to become the best officiant and how to create the business of your dreams. Let's get started.
Welcome to Grow My Officiant Business, the podcast, and now the YouTube channel. I've been working on that, so I hope you'll go and check out some of the YouTube videos I've put up. Today is a cool episode. I always love it when I get to talk to someone and interview someone, especially someone that I deem as an expert, someone who's in this field. They know it like the back of their hand. And today I have on Keith Carson. Keith is an officiant who has taken this and grown it into more than a business. People in his area know who he is. They love him for what he does. He even does some crazy things we might get into in this episode. But Keith, I appreciate you coming on the podcast today.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad to see you back broadcasting.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I took a little hiatus, and now that I've got some other things going, I'm hoping that people will get a lot of value out of this. So speaking of value, I want to first of all give you the opportunity to tell people. We have a lot of people that email me and ask questions and who are just getting into this. So kind of fill us in on your beginning. How did you get into this?
So much of what I've done in my life has been entirely by accident. And even officiating weddings started that way. I'm of Scottish heritage. I happen to be a Santa Claus portrayer. And a number of years ago, somebody was looking to get married by a Scottish Santa in Branson, Missouri. They looked at me and said, "You kind of fit the bill." So I became ordained and did the wedding. And I absolutely loved it. It went off great. And that was really the start of how this thing began, with a sort of a theme type wedding.
That's so cool. So I feel like this is a lot of people's entrance story. I had a friend ask me, or I had somebody ask me, because I was in this scenario. First of all, when I first saw you, before we ever spoke, you know, obviously that's the first thing I think of, Santa, when I see you. How have you had that image for a long time?
This is my 17th season portraying Santa.
Wow.
But I haven't always had the white hair and the beard. I started out with the cheesy wig and beard, and then went to human hair, and then eventually decided to grow my own. And now I keep it, but it's actually bleached. My hair is very dark brown, almost black. And so if you look at it, it's not dark turning white, it's white turning dark, because I haven't bleached in a while.
That's awesome. Yeah, I actually would have never known that. I thought that was, when I first saw you, I was like, man, he's lucky. He's got that natural white. So this cool. So you got into the officiant business. Now, when you got into this, were you wanting to make it a business, or were you just trying to fulfill that one wedding and maybe do a few?
I really thought it would just be that one, but I enjoyed it so much. I saw the joy that the couple got out of it, and really everybody involved. And I decided at that time, you know, this would be a great side hustle. So I really started out just doing theme weddings. You know, I didn't do, if you would, quote unquote, traditional weddings for quite some time. You know, I did Santa Claus. I did a knight. Pirate weddings. I'm known for doing pirate weddings. I've done Viking weddings, Western Marshal, all types of characters. And they're just so much fun. But at some point, I realized that more people are getting married in a more traditional way. And so now I do both.
That's cool. Now, we talked before this, before we ever even planned to do this podcast, and I thought it was really interesting how when you got into this and you were telling me some things that you do, I was like, wow, I don't even do that. You, like, for instance, you have a kit, you know, when you show up in case anybody's missing something. When this started transforming into a business, you're one of the few people that I've talked to that you said, you know, I wanted to make sure I did this thing correctly. I did it right. I was fulfilling my obligations beyond what people thought I should. How important is that to you?
It's, to me, it's extremely important. You know, anybody can get ordained, or here in Florida, if you're a notary, you can officiate weddings. And your only real competition is yourself. So I try to do as much as I can to stand out. And I use those things, like my emergency wedding day kit, as a marketing tool. I find that wedding planners love the idea, venues love the idea, and more importantly, couples love the idea, so that, you know, somebody is prepared for pretty much any type of emergency. So I just, you know, I did my homework. I did a lot of research, and like you said, if I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it right or not at all. So I just chose to be the best wedding officiant I can be, and so far it's paid off.
Okay, so Keith, you know, you're a professional wedding officiant. You got into this, and you weren't meaning to have a full-time business, but it's grown into something pretty incredible and sustainable. And I think that's what people out there are looking for, to have a sustainable business that can actually grow, feed them and their families, and they can depend on. You know, and there's a lot of people that are just now getting to this. So if you had some advice, what do you see as the biggest problem facing wedding officiants today?
There's two problems that I see. One is, and I was surprised when I learned this last year, that 51% of wedding ceremonies are officiated by a friend or family member.
Wow.
Now, I knew they did, you know, a fair amount. I didn't know it was the majority. And I've heard and seen pretty much most of the horror stories, you know, including the, oh, thank God it's you. And I said, why? And it's like, well, we had a guy here last week and it was his first wedding. He was a friend of the couple, and he was a nervous wreck, so he went to the bar.
Oh my gosh.
And it was a disaster. And I've seen two weddings online recently on social media where couples got married, and I knew both of them. One asked me to officiate their wedding. I wasn't available. And the other one, I'm just a more or less an acquaintance and not close to them. But I did have to notify both of them, saying, I would take that video down because you're not legally married. Neither officiant met the guidelines for someone to be legally married in the state of Florida. So you have all of those problems. And people, I think, just associate that with wedding officiants, whether it's a professional or it's a family member. And then the other side is, we see a lot of people trying to get into this career, this business, every single day. And about every single day, you'll read a post from somebody on social media saying, hey, I just got ordained today. My first wedding is Saturday. What do I need to know? Or one I just saw the other day, I really think I'm going to make a go of this. You know, what should I do? No one would open a business of any kind without doing their research, without doing their homework. You can't just wing it. And, you know, this is one of the most important days in a couple's life. You know, if they have children, there's one. Buying a house is another. But their wedding ceremony is a big day in their life. And as I tell couples, I want them to remember their wedding ceremony for all the right reasons. And you really, really have to do your homework and set this up like a business, even if it's a side hustle. It's still a business. And that's where I think people trying to get into this are falling short.
Yeah, it is. It's a little shocking. And I see it too all the time. I actually have people that reach out to me some, and they're like, hey, I've already got a wedding planned. I just became an officiant. I just decided I want to do this. And it's shocking that how did they get this wedding? You know, another thing, and not to speak against anybody, but the couple out there, the poor couple, sometimes I think they have no idea what they're getting into. You know, they don't know what they just invited into their wedding, inexperience.
And that's the biggest problem, because you're talking a lot about couples who have never done this before, mm-hmm. or if they've been married before, it was probably years and years ago, and they don't remember. So they don't know what they don't know. And, you know, you really have to take them by the hand and guide them every step of the way.
So what would your piece of advice be, going off of that awesome answer that you just gave, to people who want to get into this, but they want to do it right? They want to do it correctly.
Well, one of the things that's really important is to find out what are the laws in your state, and then are there any specific things you know you need to know in your county? I know some states are different. The Carolinas, some counties accept online ordination, some don't.
Right.
And I really wouldn't go on social media, even in an officiant group, and ask some of these questions, because I've seen answers that are flat out wrong. You really have to do the homework yourself. Call the state, call the county, go online, go to their website, read the state statutes, all of that stuff. You know, find out, what you need to know to set up a business. You know, do you have business cards? Do you have a website? Do you have a marketing plan? All of those things that you really need to do, because no one is just going to come walking through your neighborhood, knocking on your door and say, hey, are you a wedding officiant? You have to be found, and you really have to know what you're talking about when this couple starts asking questions.
Absolutely. So, yeah, I love that answer. Research. It's amazing now in the online world how people take advice from other people they've never met. They don't know what experience they have. They don't know what education they have. And they're just, oh, okay, that's what I'll do. I mean, you know, and on the opposite end of that, you can still go on the internet now and find every bit of real information from the source, like you said. And that's the best way to go. Go to the source, research, figure it out.
It takes just as much time to pick up the phone, to go to the website and read it with your own eyes or hear it with your own ears, as it does to type that question in a Facebook group.
Yeah, absolutely. So I wanted to cover that first, because I want, from your experience level, to figure out what new officiants need to do. What do they need to figure out? How do they figure that out? I want to get past that, because most of the people that come on this podcast are getting into the business and want to know, how do I get business? A lot of them, I've spoken to many who are notaries, who have gotten into this doing it the right way. They've learned about it and they're ready to do weddings. They just don't know, how do I get customers? How do I find couples? So when it comes to marketing, you spoke of marketing. When it comes to marketing yourself and your business, what do you find works?
Well, I've gone to all the clerk of the court's offices in the areas that I primarily service. That's 6 counties. Sounds like a lot, but some of them are, 10 minutes away. Some of them are 30 minutes away. And some of them, I found that you can put business cards up on their wall in a business card holder. Some have lists where they give out to every couple that comes in saying, here's a list of wedding officiants. Some don't do anything. But like someone once told me, unless you ask, the answer is always the same. No. So go out. You know, I found that during the week was probably a good time that, if I'm not writing wedding scripts, is when I should be knocking on doors. So that's when I went out to the clerk's offices. That's when I went out to venues that I had never officiated a wedding at, set up an appointment, said, I regularly get couples that say, do you know a good venue? And this is what I'm looking for. And I would tell them, I'd love to come out and talk to you and get a tour of the facility and see if we can, recommend each other. And those meetings have proved very fruitful. The first 6 venues that I went to, I walked out the door on their preferred vendor list. And here's another area where officiants are coming up short. Some of these venue owners would say, yeah, I've had so-and-so call me and say, how do I get on your preferred vendor list? But they don't know them from Adam. They've never seen their work. And at least with me and what I did is I went out there and met with them face-to-face, gave them my brochure, gave them my business card, and talked to them a little bit about how I operated, gave them information on seeing all my 5-star reviews on Google. And again, 6 for 6 on the first 6 places I went to. And it's been consistent like that. Everybody's kind of trying to take the easy way out and being a little bit lazy. Go knock on the door, go visit them face to face and start that relationship. And every one of them has paid off. I've gotten, you know, dozens and dozens of weddings from these venues as a result of taking time to do that.
That's awesome that you just talked about that. I have a student and they know who they are. So when they hear this, they're going to be like, yeah, I'm glad you shared that. And last week they told me, and I've been helping them with their business for probably, I don't know, a year now. And for the last 6 months, I've said, have you gone in person? What you just said, gone in person with your business card or a piece of paper that you've printed your stuff out where they can find out more information about you to venues and talked to the person in charge of setting up events? Well, no, I've called around. I've done that. And I said, do it. And I was telling them like every 3 weeks when we talked, go do it. Have you done it yet? No. Last week, the week before last, they went and did it to three of the venues near them. All of them, what you just said happened, they got on the preferred vendor list and they've already booked 2 weddings just off of that visit to the venues. And they said, why didn't I do this sooner? I said, I don't know, but that, it pays off. What you just said pays off.
Yeah. And here's another thing about marketing. I was introduced some time ago to a wedding planner that I had not worked with. And one of the questions they asked me was, do you do same-sex weddings? And I said, yes. And they said, oh my God, you're the only male officiant that we've now found that will do same-sex weddings. And you're one of also very few male wedding officiants, period.
Wow.
Now, I know both of those are not true. I know other male wedding officiants in the areas that I cover, and I know other male wedding officiants that do same-sex weddings. But the difference is in the marketing, is in the making contact with, again, not just the venues, but the wedding planners and networking with photographers and everyone else. And at first I thought, well, you know, they must be mistaken, you know, or they haven't looked that hard. The next wedding planner, all told me the same thing.
Wow.
And I'm not going to correct them if that's what they believe. God bless them, because they've been booking me like there's no tomorrow.
Wow.
Or, you know, traditional male-female, male-male, female-female, whatever it is, they've been booking me for their weddings.
That's amazing. You know, the problem is that people, they think that's something I'm going to do. But if you realized how many officiants in your area don't do this, they do not do it. They don't network, like you said, it would blow your mind, because what you just said is happening to people that are doing it. They are getting the benefits. So that's right. That's amazing. That's amazing advice. Go ahead.
And I'm sorry. The other thing, you know, with marketing is, going back to what we talked about a little bit earlier, having that emergency wedding day kit, it is an unbelievable tool. When you officiate a wedding and something happens, when the best man's fooling around and drops the ring in the water or drops it between a little space in a boardwalk and loses the ring, and you say, "Don't worry about it, I've got one." When something, you know, rips, a button comes off, and you say, I've got a sewing kit, or I've got, you know, mouthwash, or I've got whatever it is, you name it, I have it, including water, you know, Gatorade, Powerade type drinks, because here in Florida it can get very hot. People get dehydrated very easy. So that is something that I know that the officiants in my area are not doing. So I use it to my advantage as a marketing tool, as a selling point. So all of these little things that you can do will separate you from everyone else. Having an emergency backup, that was probably the first thing I did. was go network with other wedding officiants and find out who's on the same page as I am when it comes to officiating weddings. And now if I'm booked, I can say, listen, I'm sorry I'm booked, but call this person. And they do the same thing. Or if something happens and I'm on my way to a wedding and God forbid I get in a car accident, I can email them the script and give them all the information and get something to get someone to cover it. Likewise, the couple has a copy of the wedding script that they've approved. So in the event they have to get somebody, even if it's not an officiant, even if it's Uncle Bob who's not ordained, he can use the wedding script and then I can come back later on and make it official and do a little private ceremony and then sign the license. But those are all things that wedding officiants should be doing to really provide good customer service, good personal service, and separate you from everyone else.
Yeah. Well, it's just doing things right. You know what I mean? It's just crossing your T's, dotting your I's. There's not a lot of people doing that. And I think one of the biggest problems is the first thing we talked about. There's a lot of people jumping into this thinking it's a side gig. And for some reason, when you label it a side gig, you think it's not a business. I don't have to treat it like one. So do you have any, if somebody started this, they're starting to get some momentum, starting to get some couples, having some success. I know you talked about a few things. Do you have any other advice for someone wanting to add to their business?
I mean, one of the things that I use very effectively is I've developed a pretty extensive questionnaire. It's, I think, 4 pages. But I tell couples, don't let that scare you. A lot of them are just checkboxes. Because, again, you're going back to a couple that's probably never been married before and has no clues. So when you ask questions like, do you want a prayer? Do you want a blessing? Do you want a unity candle ceremony? Sand blending? How do you want me to dress? Are you writing your own vows? Are you exchanging rings? Even if they don't know the answer to it, it will be something they'll come back and say, hey, explain to me what the sand blending ceremony is, or, you know, hand fasting, or do we have to write our own vows? All of those things, because what it does is it then puts a valuable document in my hand that lets me prepare thoroughly for their wedding, from how they want me to dress to what type of ceremony they want. Do they want it serious? Do they want traditional? Do they want religious? Do they want humorous? Do they want outright funny? Theme wedding, all of those things. And then it also captures their love story and has each one describe the other, so that when I write a script for them, it is totally customized for their wedding. It captures them. It's not a cookie cutter script. So that type of questionnaire is something that really, really proves to be extremely valuable, because as an officiant, you never want to stand up in front of a couple and say, God has brought us together today, and then have them look at you and say, you know, we're devil worshipers, don't you? So you want to give them what they want. And that's pretty much a great way to do it. It's better than an interview. I know people do interviews as opposed to the questionnaire, but the interviews, you're putting them on the spot. I need an answer now. The questionnaire, they can kind of take their time and fill out and think about. So that's a really good tool that everybody should have in their toolbox. Personal service is key. I'm booking into 2024.
Wow.
That couple might sign the contract, pay the retainer fee, complete the questionnaire, send it back. I write the script, send it to them, and they approve it. And we're sitting here 2 years out from their wedding. But you can believe that I will contact them on a regular basis between now and their wedding. Just a, hey, just checking in. How's everything? Anything I can help you with? Just a friendly reminder that you're there, and peace of mind for them. So, you know, they love that hands-on personal service. And if you look at most companies today, anybody you deal with, customer service does not exist. Mm-hmm. Have it exist in your business.
Yeah, absolutely. So you just blew a lot of people's minds when you said you were booked into 2024. So really quick, what do you consider a full time? I mean, you're obviously getting calls all the time. You're getting booked. You're very in demand. What do you consider a full time wedding officiant? How many bookings would you say that would be per week, per month?
This is a two-part episode. To listen to the second part of this incredible interview with Keith Carson, go to the next episode. We'll see you there. Thanks for listening. If you got value out of this, please rate and review the podcast. That helps us stay on the air. Head over to our YouTube channel, Grow My Officiant Business, and for free resources and to keep up with what's going on, go to www.growmyofficientbusiness.com. My name's Chad Muncy. Thank you for joining us. Have a wonderful day.